slash and burn, return, listen to yourself churn. Locking in, uniform and book burning, blood letting, every motive escalate, automotive centering. Light a candle, light a motor, step down, watch your heel crush, crush, uh-oh. This means no fear, cavalier, renegade, steer clear, tournament, a tournament, a tournament of lies. Offer me solutions, offer me alternatives, and I decline. It's the end of the world as we know it. Telephone number here at WBAI is area code 347-335-0818. You are welcome to call, restricting yourselves more or less to the topics, as I was meandering with them before, and I may open up another topic. I'm going to do this to a very limited extent tonight, but next week, at length, had to hear Bernstein, Lenny Bruce mention a couple of great Lennies there. I'm going to tell a little autobiographical stuff, most of which I've never discussed on the air in lo these many, many years that I have been here. So stay tuned now and more. Tune in next week at 1 a.m.
It's the end of the world as we know it. It's the end of the world as we know it. It's the end of the world as we know it. And I feel fine.
Okay, once again, the phone number here at WBAI is, to talk on the air, I should point out, is 347-335-0818. Yes, I know I made some mistakes during that reading, but it was a live reading. Let me tell you something. As an editor, working with some of the greatest audiobook narrators of all time, and that's an audio editor, as in I get their stuff for the outtakes, I take out the outtakes, make everything intakes. I'm hyper aware of my own readings, but those people rarely, they do, but rarely, well, read in such a venue live. Most of them have theater backgrounds, though. At any rate, good morning. You're on the radio.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Do you know that you were off the air for about 4 minutes? We lost you in the middle of Natalie Merchant, and the next thing I was listening and listening, and when you came back on, you were in the story at the point when you said something about the cavalry coming over the hill.
Well, no, I wasn't aware, but let me ask you something. Were you listening to a broadcast radio or on the internet?
Broadcast. I don't have internet.
Okay, yeah. So, obviously, something went out there. But we were, at least, I'm listening to an internet feed. And so I know that, yeah, it's really annoying, since we're a bona fide radio station, for us to go off the air. But,
I actually thought it was my radio that I'm listening in my bedroom, but I went to my other radio and you were off there too, so I don't
know. No. Knowing WBAI, it was probably the broadcast feed. So thanks for the information.
Now, but what was the name of the story again, by the way?
The Pedestrian.
Oh, yeah, that okay, then I did hear right. Well, it's a cheery little tale, James.
It's almost a poem, as I said. It's almost a prose poem. Bradbury was very good with those. Some of his prose poetry
sometimes better, I think, than some of his other written fiction, because it's poetic. And sometimes as science fiction, when Bradbury would especially try to invoke certain aspects of science into his science fiction, it didn't work well always. And some of it didn't date well. And when he wrote poetry, it was, well, my opinion, rather heavy-handed. But when he wrote this kind of thing, which is in and of itself, and by the way, from where you said it came in, you only missed about a paragraph.
Oh, okay.
It's a very short story. His prose poetry, which is what I consider this, or just a short prose piece, that really, there's no story there. It's a situation. It's a facade. And it's up to you to realize, what is the universe in which this story takes place? And that's when the chills come in. Nothing really chilly happens to the lead character, necessarily.
Well, he does get taken off in an automatic police car.
Yes, but... God knows where. But we know exactly where. We were told that it was to...
Yeah, the psychiatric...
To a psychiatric ward. But yeah. It would have been no different if it had brought him home.
Uh-huh.
If you think about it, would be simply, you know, stay here, shut up. This was also the same era that people like Jack Williamson wrote his wonderful story With Folded Hands, where people had so much being served to them, and the government was giving them so much in the way of what Aldous Huxley called soma, that they had nothing to do but to sit with folded hands, and everything else would be done for them. So, and that I dare, and that was written in the 50s, if not the 40s.
Which one, the Bradbury? When was that written?
I said the 50s, if not the 40s. Uh-huh. The Pedestrian is 1951.
Right, okay.
They're a similar era. They're within a few years of each other.
Uh-huh.
And the point is that they saw things like that, and in 1948, Orwell saw 1984, which has come to fruition now. And it's very interesting because in 1984, yeah, there was a lousy government, it was the Reagan era and things going on, but 1984 didn't really feel like Orwell. Now we live in a world of doublespeak so-called press secretaries say, oh, well, you see, we use the alternative facts. And that's an exact quote. That's Orwellian. That's doublespeak. We're not dealing with a nasty Republican. We're not dealing with anything but the winner of a reality show. That's all this bozo freaking is. He's not a Republican. The worst Republican. You know, I used to think, oh, my God, we've got to live with Voldemort. I will not name I will not use the other name, except when playing bridge, you know, like a trump card. This Voldemortian guy. What point was I going to make? He's not a Republican. What he is he's a person who learned over time how to ace reality shows. He's not a good businessman. He has not run businesses successfully. He has gypped people out of sums of money. And you know what? I was taught in radio school, that is called WBAI, you don't say you are a jackass to anybody, because that's actionable. But if you say, I think you are a jackass, they can't get after you. Because one is a statement of fact and the other statement of opinion. This guy is not a politician. He has never held political office. He has no idea what he's gotten into. And while I thought, oh, my God, Pence is so horrible that we're just going to have to sit out at least 2 years before everybody votes in a Democratic Congress, and at least there'll be some kind of a check against this bozo. And now I'm beginning to think, you know what? Pence is starting to look better and better. And he's horrid.
Yeah, but you know, James, here's the thing. And I kind of go the opposite. I'm kind of like, you know the fable, not a fable, you know the story? There's a Jewish tale from Eastern Europe about a visiting rabbi going to some small town in Russia. And it used to be the thing that the rabbis, local rabbi, would take in the visiting rabbi and let him come home, spend the night, you know, treat him well. And, of course, he brings the visiting rabbi in, and they have a dinner, and they're about to go to bed. And he notices the rabbi and his family is saying the prayer, and he says, God bless the Lord of the universe, God bless my family, this one, that one, this one. But most of all, Lord of the universe, bless our beloved Tsar. And the visiting rabbi says, what are you, crazy? You're out of your mind. This is the guy, the Black Hundreds, the Cossacks, put you in the army for 25 years, and when you get out, what do you got left? Nothing. He's terrible. And what the local rabbi says, what you don't realize is that no matter how bad this Fink is, the next one is 10 times worse.
Yeah,
so
but
to me, Pence is worse, because Pence at least has a mind.
Yeah, but you see, Pence would know better than to do things that are outright non-constitutional. He would know better than to threaten to invade Mexico. He would know, you know, these are things he would not do. So
you're sure about that?
Yes, yes, yes.
Okay.
I am sure about that because as horrible as I consider Pence, he has a machine behind him. Okay? He has the machine of a former party of thought and discipline, because the Republicans haven't been the Republicans for 20 years now, not since the birth of the Tea Party. While he is closer to that Tea Party than he is to being a Republican, he at least has structure. He has people from whom one gets orders, just like Reagan had. I have a personal belief as to who was operating Mr. Reagan, especially, and it was not Bush, and it was not Reagan. The man was not, he's the nicest man in the world. He wasn't capable, in my humble opinion, of running a nation. Other people, in my opinion, ran Reagan. Other people can run Pence. Nobody can run Donald Voldemort.
Now, one last thing, and then I'm sure you have other people who wish to speak with you. I heard a very arch-conservative, whose name I shall not mention, on another station, and he said, you know what? This he who shall not be named will probably destroy conservatism.
Oh, yeah.
He will destroy conservatism to within 4 years. We will not even know what it looked like.
Listen, I've got very little against bona fide, real bona fide conservatives.
Neither do I.
We had one on this radio station by the name of Buckley.
Yes.
I think his name was William something.
William Buckley.
Or other. I engineered him once. He's the nicest man.
I met him on another radio show once, but that's another story.
And I watched him engage with Abby Hoffman. The two of them loved each other. The two of them had similar principles, and they loved to argue, and they understood that the point of a democracy is to argue over issues.
Principle. You know that when
they
Howard
were both, they were both principled. I didn't agree with the thing Buckley said, but he thought about it first.
Do you know the name Allard Lowenstein?
Yeah, of course.
When Allard Lowenstein died, William Buckley gave the most incredible eulogy at Allard Lowenstein's funeral. Now, that tells you something.
Sure. Sure, I agreed on with Buckley on nothing, but I had great respect for the man.
Actually, you know what he did say once?
I also liked Gore Vidal.
The New York subway system, the transit system, should be free. Anyway, just one quick question. The Ray Bird story you read, is that in any of his collections?
Yes, but I don't know which one. I got it from an alternate source.
Oh, okay. Well, anyway.
But I mean, I read the story when I was little, so my guess would be that it's either from the book R is for Rocket or S is for Space. Those were the first Bradbury books I was given by my parents because, thanks to the title, my parents thought those were like primers. They weren't, of course, but my uncle, who had quite an effect on my life, he introduced me to science fiction and he brought me to WBAI. To name two. So he did at least two minor things in my life.
Well, James, you've given us much food for thought.
At any rate, he was the one who taught me how to interpret the stories in those two Bradbury books. And he also then, hooked me on Heinlein Juveniles and stuff. But it was largely Bradbury that I cut my teeth on.
Well, you've given us much food for thought, and on that, I will leave you for the nonce.
Okay, well,
we have much to think about, and thank you for the story.
Sure thing. Take care. And this is Hour of the Wolf over WBAI, if you would like to call in. The telephone number is area code 347-335-0818. I frankly do not know how well our phone operating system is. I wasn't even able to know that we were on the air or not. So I don't know if we can get more than one call at a time, but if you would like to call, please dial that number, and I'll talk to you after this person. Good morning. You're on the air.
Hello.
Well, hello. I'm sorry. I had the wrong pot up. Try that again.
Not a problem, James. Listen, I'm not going to hold you long. I just want to say Bradbury, Michael Moore, Bradbury.
You mean Michael Moore?
Yes.
Why Michael Moore?
It's the same storyline, James.
Oh, I don't agree.
Well, I mean, listen.
No, I'm going to rethink what I just said. I think I see your point.
Oh, okay.
I'm going to take back. I see where you're going with that. It's not everything Bradbury had to say, and it's not everything that Michael Moore, or for that matter, Michael Moorcock, ever had to say. Michael Moorcock's another science fiction writer. My problem with Michael Moore is that he didn't have the poetry or subtlety that Bradbury had.
Yes, great. And my problem with Michael Moore is that he might not be as diverse as he appears to be. By that I mean, you see, I'm a child of the 40s, so I don't go for the rhetoric, or the filler.
Mm-hmm.
So books in this modern day time are fillers, They're potentially damaging.
I have to say to that is that you're reading the wrong books.
All right, well, then that's correct. And thank you for the word assuage. I am reading the wrong books. I never heard that word before.
Okay, so what may I help guide you? What is it? What kind of thing would you like to read? Maybe I can help you because
I have no idea, James. That's why I'm listening to you.
Okay,
have a pleasant morning.
Okay, let me. Okay, first, get yourself one of the best of the year of science fiction or fantasy anthologies, and read through some of the short stories in there. Find a writer who speaks to you, and then read their novels.
Well, James, I come from the comic book era. I'm not interested. Trust and believe.
Okay.
I'm a comic book fanatic.
Okay. So if you like comic books, do you like graphic novels?
Yes. I mean, I can deal with them. But I just want
a
short story.
Let me
short story is good enough for me.
Well, short stories are what I just recommended. But let me recommend for you the comic books, or if you like graphic novels, there's no difference except length, written by Neil Gaiman. G-A-I-M-A-N.
I got it.
There's a recommendation for you. He writes prose. He writes comics. He's wonderful.
Thank you. You're a wonderful person, James.
Likewise.
Thank you.
Have a good day.
You too. And just in case, I'm known as the voice known around the dive.
Say that again. The voice.
I'm known as the voice heard around the dive. I have
the
no
voice
name.
Heard around the dial. Very good.
Exactly. Thank you.
Okay. Take care. Have a good morning.
Bye-bye.
You see, I'm not known as the voice heard around the dial because I'm only at one place on the dial. Has anybody listening ever seen a dial? I know you dial your phone, but did you ever have a dial on your phone? Did you ever have a radio dial? Maybe you've used dial soap. But only under dire circumstances. At any rate, I love language. I love archaic language and words that we use that had meaning that no longer have meanings. And just general idioms and how they start. All of a sudden, somebody will say something like, I don't know, like, it's raining cats and dogs out there.
Meow.
Exactly. You know, and it's like, but how did that start? Well, there are a few things. Let me recommend the Dictionary of Phrase and Fable. Brewers is the best, B-R-E-W-E-R-S. It's rather expensive, but hey, there are still libraries, and they deserve your support. Or the first edition of Brewers, which came out in the late 19th century, has a lot of archaic stuff and stuff that was present then that's gone now. And so you can look that up for free online. There's also the Oxford edition, which is, you know, different researchers and all that. And they're basically looking for idioms, things to explain all of these wonderful phrases that have meaning. And, you know, I usually have thousands of these at my fingertip. And all of a sudden that I brought up the subject, I could do hours of radio on this. And all of a sudden I can't think of, like, too many. So I can't go into the whole nine yards. Aha! The whole nine yards. Nobody agrees on where that comes from. It is not the amount of material that it takes to make a three-piece suit, including the vest and waistcoat. It takes much less than 9 yards to... Say what, Lister?
The NFL.
No. What does 9 yards mean in the NFL? 10 yards? Yeah. Well, A, football didn't exist when that phrase started, number one. Football, and B, number two, as you are showing the listening audience, football is soccer everywhere except in the U.S. Or rugby. It does not refer to anything oceanic. Now, there are now so many phrases that fall between the cracks. Okay, between the cracks, that's like a deck of a ship, you know, where you haven't put enough putty on it, so it falls between the cracks. Exactly. There are so many of these phrases come from seafaring terms. So, you know, make sure that when you say these things, you're Bristol clean and shipshape. But shipshape, Bristol clean. Ships, Bristol was one of the filthiest, most horrible places in the world, in England. It was filled with fecal matter, mostly human, all over the streets, and it's where they either pressed, that is to say, knocked unconscious and forced people to serve on ships, or just inducted them, or whatever. And that was in Bristol. So before a ship could leave Bristol, where they were sent out to go to sea, a ship had to be Bristol clean. Almost the opposite. It was an ironic thing because Bristol is like was at that time the ugliest place in the world. Hi there, you're on the air. Hello.
Hello.
Hi there. Got you now.
Ah, yes. Good morning. The whole nine yards, I believe, I'm not 100%.
I promise you if I've researched this deeply, but go on.
The B-17, the ammunition belt in the machine gun of a B-17 was 9 yards.
This is a phrase that occurs in the 18th century.
Oh, well, again, you know, etymology, you can use different etymology for the same phrase in different centuries, but
you can.
Anyway,
yes, absolutely. And
the belt on a B-17, you know, the machine gun in the window with Humphrey Bogart and all that, was 9 yards to 27 feet. And once you fired it, you were out of ammo.
Ah, oh, that's very interesting. But you.
So I went through the whole 9 yards, or it took the whole 9 yards.
No. Yeah, although what it usually is it means that somebody is, another ship term, totally decked out. In other words, if you're dressed to the nines.
To the nines, yes.
Yes, you've gotten the whole 9 yards of clothing, and that's the most common usage that we have found in print.
Okay, well, that's good. The older I get, the more the only other expression I know is to let the cat out of the bag.
Oh.
Which refers to when you would buy a pig, they would put it in a bag, you know, or a young pig.
Yeah.
A piglet. And then they would put a cat in there instead of a pig and thus screw you out of buying a pig.
Ha! That's when a cool one.
You let the cat out of the bag.
Ah.
In other words, you know, as in the hustle aspect of it. You know,
that's
you've been hustling.
Great. That's great. I love
All right.
Thank you
I've done my good deed for the day. You have a nice evening.
You certainly have. Thank you so much.
All right,
take care. Bye-bye. Oh, I like that. The cat, letting the cat out of the bag. That's great. That's a fabulous etymology. Thank you so much. Another theory about the whole nine yards is that when you are making a sail for a ship, that the mainsail, the largest sail, as in sails of silver, which we're going to hear, starting just about now, that letting the building an entire sail would use the whole 9 yards of material that you had. The ship shape is simply that your ship is in condition to go sailing. That's simple. That's not an idiom. Yeah. But the whole 9 yards is generally used for clothing. Anyhow, let me recommend two. About the only mailing lists I'm on. One of them is called Words, Words, Words. And it's just about etymology. And I'm forgetting the name. Phrases.co.uk. The fellow has a blog. It's great. He's not been sending it out a lot. But you can just visit phrases.co.uk. Does that make it British? Blimey. Yeah. This has been Hour of the Wolf. My name is Jim Freund. Everybody, be good to each other. We all deserve it, and we're going to need it in the future. Thank you for listening. Stay tuned for Burn Baby Burn Clappers. Next week, I will do a show, and it will have content, but we will also be fundraising, and we expect you to help out with that. And I will be beginning at 1 a.m., rumor has it that will be a permanent change. So we can only hope. In the meantime, as I said, be good to each other. Be good to Lister. He's going to be giving you good radio in just a moment. Have a good morning.
myself that I am a revolutionary. And you're going to have to keep on saying that. You're going to have to say that I am a proletarian. I am
the bitch. The red, white, and blue spit on you.
Expressing myself, torching the symbol of oppression. Let that be a lesson to those that want suppression of the truth. Put on hold, the bold lose control, so they force obedience. Have you pledge allegiance to a piece of cloth? That's all the way I see it. Well, I'm going off berserk, cause the system work to jerk. My people, the people, all around the pigs lurk. Tell me I'm wrong, though that's my right, and it's right in the Constitution. Yo, that's an illusion, huh? Suckers trying to change and rearrange. They say that I'm free, but they sure have a strange way of showing it. But I'm blowing the cover, the red, white, the blue, but the black for the brother. And I'm the lover of this flag, like many others take the same turn, like me, they yearn for the flag too.
Just a minute. You gave me freedom of speech in the First Amendment. So why wanna scold me when I taught you? place in this country are rightly disturbed by the large numbers of illegal aliens entering our country. The jobs they hold might otherwise be held by citizens or legal immigrants. The public service they use impose burdens on our taxpayers. That's why our administration has moved aggressively to secure our borders more by hiring a record number of new border guards, by deporting twice as many criminal aliens as ever before, by cracking down on illegal hiring, by barring welfare benefits to illegal aliens. In the budget I will present to you, we will try to do more to speed the deportation of illegal aliens who are arrested for crimes, to better identify illegal aliens in the workplace, as recommended by the commission headed by former Congresswoman Barbara Jordan. We are a nation of immigrants, but we are also a nation of laws. It is wrong and ultimately self-defeating for a nation of immigrants to permit the kind of abuse of our immigration laws we have seen in recent years, and we must do more to stop it.
Single list alive as reactionary as they come right here at 99.5 FM. That's why we had to call the show Berkeley Style. Burn, baby, burn, clappers. You have no choice but to overthrow this capitalist blood-sucking system where there are no winners under capitalism, just straight-up oppression. Yeah, I told you. His Imperialist Majesty Barack the First said basically the same thing before the first black president said what he just said to you. That's why we say burn, baby, burn. 99 single list alive right here. Your Thursday begins your what? Your Thursday begins your what? Your weekend starts right here. It feels like 32 degrees on the outside of this WBAI Pacifica Radio studios right here in New York City. It's 40-something degrees, but it feels like 32 degrees. Yeah. Burn, baby, burn. Yep. Imperialist USA foreign policy has never changed. Like I always say rhetorically on the radio, that in Imperialist USA, this is the only place on the planet Earth where the middle 12 inches is really 3 inches to the right. The Gorsuch right. That's what I'm talking about, the Gorsuch right. In the supremacist court. 3 inches to the right. That's 9 inches to the right. You get it? The whole 9 yards. Burn, baby, burn. And that's where you find Republicanist. His Imperialist Majesty Barack the First. And the first black president and all of them since Reagan all pile up on each other doing the new dance called the trumpet. Yeah. Boots on the ground in Yemen killing an 8-year-old child for absolutely nothing, just like the little youth from Detroit, 14 years old, U.S. citizen. Barack murdered him, so this clown in the White House, this white supremacist murders this child and gets away with it. And Theresa May from England shamelessly endorses all of that torture and more. That's why we say Berkeley Style, burn, baby, burn. Yeah, we can overthrow this system in such a way that we do not go back to this. You don't believe me? Then try it. The 99 Cinco Clappers. Burn, baby, burn.
just joining us, hey, Blackbird in Time, make it 3 o'clock every Thursday until 5 a.m. on a Thursday, which begins your weekend right here at 99 Single. Burn, baby, burn, where we burn, imperious red, white, and blue, and glory to ashes with no apology. Yes, and go on bun, we dip it in acid, Berkeley style. There is no such thing as freedom of speech in imperialist USA. When are you going to get that through your damn heads? It's the biggest trumpet lie. Freedom of speech does not exist in imperialist USA. Don't let them fool you. Don't let them fool you. 99 Cinco. I must be listening to the damn wrong radio station. Yeah. Listening to the damn wrong radio station. We're gonna see if we can get Don DeBar from CPR Metro later down after 4 o'clock, Burn Baby Burn time. And co-host from
my ears are battered and burned, and I have just learned I have been listening to the wrong radio station.
Listening to the wrong radio station off the streets of Brixton.
My mind has
Lloyd
been brutalized by the pain gone through
the sky. Down a place called Killsome J.A. Jamaica.
I was beginning to
wrong
believe that
station.
All black men were bad men. And white
Cinco.
Men would drain again.
Listalize.
I was beginning to believe that I
burn,
was a mindless
baby,
drugs freak that couldn't
wrong
control my sanity
station.
Or my sexuality.
Yes, I am.
I was beginning to believe that I couldn't believe in nothing except nothing. And all I ever wanted to do was get you and do you. I've been listening to the wrong way. My future has been blighted. I am so short-sighted. I've been listening to the wrong radio station. I was beginning to not trust me. In fact, I wanted to arrest me. I've been listening to the wrong radio station. I've been dancing to music that I can't stand. I've been reciting commercials to my girlfriends. I've been trying to convince myself that what I really need is a sunbed and a mortgage and some hairspray, the kind of hairspray that will wash my grey blues away. I've been trying to convince myself that I shouldn't care about anyone else but myself. I've been trying to convince myself that I could ease my conscience if I gave a few pence or a few cents to a starving baby in Africa. Because African babies need me so. Because African babies need my favors. Because Africa is full of dictators. And oh yeah, globalization will bring salvation. I've been listening to the wrong radio station. Hey.